Outlaws After Dark.
Yeah, we were
in
here.
What the fuck was that weekend then? It must have been like over 100 or something. It was really fucking hot that night.
It was hot. That's actually what I said. I was like, man, they've been in here before because...
this is like perfect, yeah. Did you ever talk to Bradley about his work with Shooter Jennings?
Actually, a little bit. Because
I know him and Yellow Wolf have done stuff together too.
Sometimes.
Yeah. I thought of you when I thought of Shooter. I was like, oh, Jake would love to pick his brain on that.
I did. We talk about it a lot when we're in the t-shirt shop. He just says that he's just really wonderful to work with. Pretty much
good.
The exact same things we say about Chuck.
Yes.
Is what Chuck Shooter. Is saying about Shooter.
That's excellent.
I'm
glad to hear that.
He's got some, he was like a really big help, like with ideas and, you know, really knowledgeable in the producer chair.
Good.
And so,
He's a great player, too.
Yeah, when they came in there. Exactly.
Did you get into that Sometimes Why at all?
A little bit. I've been so bad at listening to new music recently.
Kind of same.
I really try to keep up, but I'll binge listen to it, and then it all muddles together. But I love the flow he goes with that album.
The idea of it.
Yeah,
because I'm surprised I know he's rapping again. I'm surprised he didn't just do another year of touring off that record and then go back to rap.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Probably the money. Everybody wants to hear Pop the Trunk.
And if you think about it, all of a sudden you got to pay 7 people.
Yeah, go make
me. You have a fucking full band. Yeah, it's rough, huh? And Shooter.
I kind of like Till It's Gone still. I know it's old now, but...
That was the one that gave him... What was show was that on? What the fuck was that? It was one of those big shows.
It was on that movie Black Mass with Johnny Depp.
But it was also on a Netflix show. I don't want to say... It was one of the big Netflix shows.
Okay, cool. Airplane mode, right, for our phones?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah.
So we're in here tonight with the Wolf Creek Boys. Welcome to Outlaws After Dark.
What is up?
We also got the Outlaw Boys over here. We got Jordan Hayden hanging out.
What up?
Dude, we were kind of talking about Peach City Sound and our experience over there with Mr. Chuck Bradley from the Damn Liars.
Yeah.
And Hellbound Glory.
Yes, Slide for Hellbound Glory.
And solo work.
Yeah, and dude. Dude, he played a song for me on the piano. He goes, yeah, I'm working on that. I'm like, I think that sucker's done. That made me feel.
He finds pockets. Even just the quick little, in the studio with him, he'd be like, oh, you know, on bass, I think I'm going to try this. No, just do that.
Yeah.
Try it. It's already done. It's already written.
How does this chord sound? I'm like, how? It's better than before, so keep doing that. Yeah.
aside from the engineering side of it, the producer side of it, was an eye-opener for sure for us, because obviously we've all played shows with him, but... I hadn't worked with him in the studio, so I wasn't sure how that was going to go. And he, would pick his spots. Hey, maybe, I don't know.
When you go into the studio, what are some of the things you're looking for? What makes you feel comfortable in the studio versus, what are some of the things that have been, you had to kind of come over maybe in other studios? But you've done a lot of your own recording.
A little bit, yeah. For me, if there's somebody, in the chair, dialing in the fucking knobs and everything, I like on the front end before you actually, do a take, direction, you know what I'm saying, whatever, you're dialing in, hey, play, getting everything to, you get basically finding, you know, you do it too, where you're sitting there, you're trying to find, you're leveling off, you're trying not to peak, you're trying to find a good sound, basically, so, if that person's confident, Chuck was, and Pat Hills, too, and we did a bunch of stuff with him, that always puts me at ease, and then go for it, you know?
Yeah,
Chuck and Pat both kind of had... We talked about this a little bit of the same approach.
Yeah.
He gets everything set up and then he listens and then he listens again and then he listens again and then he goes, okay, let's do one more. And then he'll just start peppering in ideas here and there, take it or leave it kind of thing, which was really welcoming for sure. And then also just the space itself is awesome. Yeah, it's such a great spot.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
And all the toys.
We spent, I don't know, all 16.
The toys. Yeah, I'm like, are so these all yours? Those skis?
The Valvoline gas guitar. I'm like, I want to play that. What's that thing?
Dude, yeah. Seriously, yeah, the gas tank one?
Yeah, I think it's Valvoline.
Did you fuck around? Did you mess with that thing?
Dude, I haven't.
I just stared at it.
Jordy's the
did you,
only
did
one.
You fuck with it?
No, I didn't fuck with it. But
did you?
I wanted to immediately.
I just looked at it. It's like, God, man, I don't even know what I'd do with it. But
right. Well, it's just so.
I don't know. It's just such a weird shape.
It feels way better than you thought of it.
Yeah.
I feel like you have to be just like a different level of player too, like confidence wise, to like pick something up like that.
Yeah.
Especially in the studio and try. Oh, okay. But he let us play like he had like a Nashville. Guitar is what he called it, but it basically is like a 12. All of the, you know, on a 12 string, there's two strings per, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, the higher string, Jerry laid down tracks on one of our songs with it, and it just, like, those are, like, his little, like, hey, you know what? Why don't you layer this, do the same chords, but layer this in the background, and, like, as he's doing it, I'm sitting there, like, okay, I don't really hear the difference, and then he plays it back, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh yeah, they do this a lot in Nashville. It's called, I think it's, where is it? It's like Nashville.
Yeah,
guitar.
Kind of his own. And it was,
I think that's what he called it.
It was really heavy. He told us a little backstory on it where a friend of his basically chained up, found a piece of driftwood at the bottom of a pond on his property and put it, dove himself into the bottom of the pond to get the driftwood. It was totally logged, right? Waterlogged, and drug it out with a truck and a chain. And then just built a guitar out of some of the pieces of it. It's really
it's
dense.
It's hand whittled.
Yeah, like, it's handcrafted.
It's almost like I don't even want to pick it up. I'm not,
yeah, as soon as he told me that, I got really like, oh, okay, all right.
It's heavier. Like,
so heavy, super dense.
Heavy.
Yeah, yeah, that's of course the time the string breaks.
Right. Yeah. The moment.
You bump it or whatever.
But and that... and thankfully, I think I bumped it a little bit once, and he was like, don't even worry about it. It's got so
it's
many
made
bumps,
of
dude. I'm
some
like,
wood we've never heard
okay,
of.
Okay, yeah. Man. Made of some prehistoric wood, petrified wood. Yeah.
Really cool sound, though. That was his value, aside from just being a good dude and being a good player and liking his projects. Like, he would just, hey, try this out.
He's the man.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
And then he'd play it back, and he'd, like, sit there literally in real time doing quick, like, mixing, you know, whatever. I'm like, oh. Yeah, that sounds exactly like you said it would. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Right.
But I don't know. I've been in, like, Chuck, his approach, I think he offered his opinion in, like, hey, try this more than, like, our me personally, like, last studio experience. And I like that shit. I like a third party. Like, because Jerry and I, obviously, we write on our own. We write together. So we kind of know. We kind of, like, he'll bring something to the table. I kind of know, like, where to go with it and vice versa kind of thing. But, like, it'd be the equivalent of, like, if we sat down. Or, yeah. You know, and you're like, hey, why don't you do that? It's gonna be totally something that I wouldn't even think of, obviously, mm-hmm. with no chemistry. And then it's like a, sounds weird, it's like an exciting thing. I'm like, fuck yeah, Chuck. No, keep. And he would sometimes preface, like, no, you just throw shit out there. And like, because I'm not going to be able to come up with a lot of what you're saying.
Yeah.
That was a big, I think, that's maybe you and I, like, separately and then collectively discovered that, because we're still, I would say overall for how long we've been playing, still pretty fresh with recording at an actual space.
Definitely
yeah. together for yeah. sure. And thankfully, one thing he told us that I'm pretty proud of, I would say, is that he was like, you guys come to the recording space with a pretty much complete product. It's been practiced a shit ton. It's done. And now we get to have the fun part. Yeah. And I
like
would
the icing on the cake.
We started joking around about like, all right, okay, so next we're going to be doing the filling of the cake. Yeah. We just did the crust.
I don't know. You
crust
go down
is delicious.
Beat Maker rabbit holes, right? Like on YouTube. And like, so I was just acting like...
we started using
cake.
Words that we never use. Like,
on that eighth beat, man, let's do a woo and then like reverse it.
Really
what we're trying to do here is syncopation.
Just
syncopation,
shit.
And I don't know what that means, but to act like you do is so fun. Like, syncopate, yeah, totally.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Syncopate for me, please,
mm-hmm.
Chuck.
Syncopate.
Because we're all here. Everything we do is just by ear. Like, I'm not coming in with terms. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I've been in the studio one other time other than, like, the house setup, and then obviously our own shit.
Yeah, you're my second studio.
Like, I mean, think about it, like that, because you can do it at home now. It's almost like back in the day you'd have to go, but now it's
the mind you're getting with, like,
yeah,
and you have to meet it, like, you have to, like, that's one thing you have to, the nice thing about letting go of kind of like the vice grip you have on like your stuff is like, it's almost like coming back around where it's like, instead of being in your own head with your own headphones on all day, all night trying to figure out what you want out of this thing, you totally relinquish control to someone who's done it a long time, who's also really cool, and it actually like gave us a pretty cool space to figure stuff out. And so we started to mess around with certain timing and certain harmonies that we didn't hear in certain the four songs that we just pretty much completed. There were certain harmonies that like you would even be like, "What if we tried doing this?" And
yeah, especially vocally, I guess.
Like, yeah, and it was cool because you had all the time in the world to do it, so it was great. I love that too.
Where yeah. it's like, if we're in there with Chuck, he's like, "We're in here for the day. Like, don't rush."
They
we're,
super we're his whole entire time. Like vibe there is there. Very mellow. It. Yeah,
there was key. No moment where I felt like we were being rushed at all, and I'm like, "You no. still got to drive back home. That's a good drive." Like.
Yeah, we're both 45 minutes out. He's yeah. in whatever sack area.
Yeah, in the sack area. So it's like, yeah, man, like, this is great. And there was no, I wasn't even looking for it, but there was no one moment where I felt like, oh, we are on the clock. Let's get this done. It was just yeah, like, no, what sounds cool? Let's figure out what sounds cool.
It's very relaxed.
Like, so relaxing.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so, but like holding everything together. Mm. He's like, like captain of the ship in like the most mellow way ever. Like I was saying, like I had that, like our second time in, I was like, fuck, that's like a really good quality to have, to be able to like direct shit, but do it in a way that's like
and you
very
forget,
relaxed, mellow, and yeah. then like confidence inspiring. I'm like, this guy knows exactly what's going on.
You forget
on.
That's not a given, right? Like you spend time with people who maybe aren't that good at it. And I would even say I'm not as good at like reading a room, and he is. So it's great. And it's, I don't know, man, like Matt, it's been pretty awesome to put four new songs down that we're pretty excited about. And
it's been a little bit since
since we've recorded. So
yeah. outside of my house, we did like some COVID singles, but I yeah. didn't know what the fuck on the mastering, mixing side and shit. But got the point across.
So excited for the new project.
Hey,
dude.
Thanks, man. Yeah,
I've listened to your guys' old project so many times. I know I've told you guys a million times, but literally the only thing wrong with it is it's too short.
Yeah.
As soon as it ends, I'm like.
Yeah, that's
mass.
That's a good spot to be in.
It's a good quality. Yeah.
Are you guys putting out a full album?
We're going to be, it's sounding like we're going to be putting out four and then four again.
Okay.
And it's like then, an EP series. Like yeah. Back, volume one, volume two. Like,
but all cool. new songs, though.
All new, yeah. All new.
That's dope.
Yeah.
What's
that's
this awesome. One called?
It's Lost Time Volume 1, Lost Time Volume 2, and it's all yeah. going to okay. be kind of around that.
Yeah.
Here comes the R2 Far 2 part.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, shit was weird there for a little while during COVID for everybody, but then just mm-hmm. life changes and shit, and it's like,
yeah,
I don't know about you, like, Jerry probably has more of a knack on the lyrical side to, like, if shit's cool to be able to write. Like, for me, like, I kind of need some weird shit in my life, and then I can go down the rabbit hole and I can write a lot, and, like,
yeah.
you know, like, Jerry was going through some shit, and out the other end of it, after we had like a little break, it was I kept telling him, and mm-hmm. obviously fucking weigh him. I was like, lean into all of it, like mm-hmm. like
yeah.
My favorite songwriters, you can just tell, like, okay, whatever it is, whether it's like really happy shit or fucking sad or dark, like, you know, they mean it kind of thing. And it's like, yeah. dude, let's not let some of the life shit literally go to waste. Not to sound like it's a fucking
totally
like
yeah.
like, but it's important. I think, like, when you got shit going on, if you love writing songs, mm-hmm. fucking.
Yeah, and admittedly, sorry not to step on you there, but admittedly, like, when I was having bigger life changes, my first, second, third, fourth reaction was to just do nothing. I didn't want to do anything because I was depressed, and Matt was the one that kept going, like, I get it, but you are feeling a lot right now, and you need to get back to what you like to do. And it's hard, you know, it's difficult just in this setting to talk about it, you know. Mm-hmm. it should always feel a little weird to be like, oh, and so then I had a then I had a moment.
Being vulnerable is fucking weird anyways.
Being vulnerable,
as a dude,
yeah.
like
yeah, but I'm a tough guy. I'm really tough. I don't feel
or like, maybe I'm not tough, but I'm not gonna be vulnerable.
I don't feel sad ever, and this podcast is over. No, yeah. It's like, yeah. it's just, you know, it was, I had to like really try, and I'm glad, because We kept playing, and we would always just play our stuff. Like, when we'd hang out, we'd play. And then, yeah, the last 6 months, three of those four songs just kind of came out within a 2-week span. Just kind of like, that sounds cool, do that. That sounds cool, do that. And then now we're excited again. And and not to beat the horse here, but Chuck Bradley is a big part of that too. And I think this is another cool testament to local music, because these are all people that we've all met and we've played shows with and we've been cool with, and lo and behold, later down the road, we're friends.
It's like people you invite to a barbecue.
Yes, totally. And he's yes, exactly. Yep. And then on top of it, you get to create some cool shit, and I'm excited. So it's called Lost Time Volume 1, and we have 4 songs. The song titles are To the Grave, Number on Me, Let It Fall, and the 4th one is I Hope You're Still Around. And
the that was well done. I was sitting there.
I was trying to think. I don't know, man. It came together weirdly fast, I will say.
Well, as soon as it's like, it's almost like you gotta like, because we were playing at least one of them live, like within the last 6 months. But as soon as it was like, you hit up Jerry about Chuck, and then as soon as we were ready to like start writing again, shit, it was like, okay. As soon as we lay down the comm set, when we started talking about, hey man, I think, I don't know, this is like music marketing bullshit, but like nobody's doing full lengths unless you're established. Like it is what it is. I hate that because I love full records, but if you're just like local or regional or whatever, like you're doing singles, you're doing EPs, and then if you catch buzz or whatever, okay, and you've got enough demand, cool, go do 15 fucking songs and people will listen, kind of thing.
And try to package those things you're releasing here and there into some kind of consistent sound, which is something, Jake, you were just talking about before we started, which is like, if you can find an overlying theme in something. It could be anything, in the lyrical content or the guitar work or anything at all. Then, bam, you got yourself a project and a chapter. And where I don't know, Matt, I'm actually not even used to thinking about that. Sometimes you just write a song and you're like, that was cool.
Yeah.
And then you put them together and you're like, they don't actually really flow that well. They're just random, you know?
Yeah. As soon as we started writing, I was like, now we're going to do an EP. We're going to do, anytime I bring like those kind of ideas to the table too, like I always feel like, oh, fuck, is this a good idea? But I was like, no, it feels right to do cool, like a series, because all the content and lyrics and shit we're writing are around that theme right now, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
But we might pull some shit that I wrote a while back for the second series, but it will all fit. It's all going to fit.
Mm-hmm.
Those, and then after that, who knows? I'd like, but to be honest, to answer your question, like I'd love to do a fucking 15th song.
That's the dream.
Spend like 3 months in a studio and just fucking working, but you know how it is, work and life and everything. So
that would be that type of freedom. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys have experienced that music. That to me sounds like the best thing I could ask for, is like you get a chunk of time to do nothing else and just do that.
Bands, like, we went out to Sweden and we spent 6 months or whatever the fuck.
You're like, so we just got back from.
How can you not get cool shit doing that?
We just got back from the mountains in Utah. We were there for 3.5 months, and I'm like, hold on a second.
It's like, dude, if I had a week and a half somewhere where it's just all day, wake up and do it. But for now, these 4-song, you know, the 2 4-song EPs, we're hoping this
getting 20 hours or 16, 18 hours is awesome.
Really straight. I've never thought about that.
I just see a lot of people doing it.
Like a full album.
To be honest, there's a lot of people doing that. Like, there's a lot of people just doing singles. And we did some singles during, like, COVID and stuff, but we weren't like online like marketing them or whatever. We just kind of dropped them and they were out of my house, and we got okay sound, but it's not the sound we're getting with Chuck, obviously, who's professional, knows what he's doing, kind of thing. But I don't know, I just see a lot of bands doing EPs singles, and then again, if you gain some traction and then have the time and money to go do a full length, if I can go do a 12 or 14 song.
Yeah,
I mean, so
yeah,
our buddy Adam, once, AKA Chauncey, he's been on this, right?
Former guest.
He was a friend of the show.
Adam, friend of the show.
He had a really good idea, and like I think he's got a really, really good mind for that kind of stuff, and he's been helping us, you know, the last couple months with like the social media and everything. And he's like, hey, if you do these 2 4-song, you put them out, you know, online, Spotify, everything, and then maybe throw some money at like pressing some vinyl, but both of them together.
Yeah.
So you 8-song vinyl.
You know. Really smart.
I know. And I'm like, I don't have like, sometimes I can get in that brain, but a lot of times I can't with my own shit or whatever.
Too much going on, and I just like it's a lot to create something and then to market it. Like,
it's a different part of your brain.
That's a totally different. It's like level two of that, like making stuff that you don't even think about. And there are people like him, and people just do it as a hobby. He technically just does it because he likes it. He likes the idea of something catching fire in an algorithmic sense, and something that I never think about. I just go like, let's just put that out and do it.
Dude, I don't know the first fucking thing about any of that anymore.
Same thing. I'm like, if it's good music, it'll catch its own fire. And then like, I'm like, just
and that is still true.
Dude, we all hold on to that shit. Like, yes. Oh, the lyrics are good and it sounds good. So sonically, it's good. So that means somebody's going to tell somebody and then,
no,
I still feel the same way about it.
Yeah, the organic nature of that totally still exists. And then at the same time, there's all this whole other world.
You still got to do the other stuff. Yeah.
It's back.
Yeah,
you have to do it, man.
I feel like part of being an artist is like you create all this art and you spend all this time making it, and then just the commercialized stuff of it just sounds boring.
It's like it sounds like a job or stale, and
it just sucks. I hate booking and stuff like that. Like,
sure,
I'll do it. Obviously,
yep. Oh,
to play places
for sure.
You know,
to that point, I started feeling like there was one moment when we were recording the song where I got hyper fixated on hitting a note. And Chuck had to be like, I know what you're saying, but like, this to me just makes it feel like you guys actually sat and wrote a song. Like, you're not perfect, and that's okay. And he's totally right. And it took me a second to kind of be like, oh yeah, like I'm not doing this to sound excellent. I just do it because it's fun.
Yeah, our quality check has been an iPhone and a voice memo. Like, it's always.
And if it sounds okay out of that, then hell yeah, let's go. Like, that's the deal. If it sounds even okay in an echoey bathroom at 2 in the morning, and you're sitting in the tub, and I'm sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
Sometimes those sound better than the actual song. Yeah.
They really do. Yeah. I feel like some of our early voice memos are probably better than the demos that we cut during COVID at my house.
I got some stuff that's like me in my bathroom, trying to find the acoustic sound.
You put your phone in the sink, and then you put it in next to a drawer, and you're like, okay, that works. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the nice part about the convenience of iPhones and any smartphone now is that anyone can just set it up, and if it's even kind of okay, then bam, it's out there and it's good. And getting to experience an actual like studio setup, and then like we were mentioning, just letting go of like total control of it is awesome.
It is nice.
I'm a huge fan. I love it.
Chuck is like very live oriented too. It's just I'm into that, like just live takes.
Yeah,
he said a lot like
no punch in, like do a take, all right, do another full take, cool.
Oh yeah,
which is good. But that's that's what you ultimately like. That's what you guys are doing live when you're playing in front of people. So fucking, it should be that.
It's your resume.
And totally. It's your resume.
It's totally your resume. They don't want some overproduced thing that's not going to sound like that if that's not what they're hiring.
Totally. And like, for sure.
You want to be able to perform it.
And those songs, right, I know, that's the idea. Those songs, for the most part, and again, it helped us because they were so rehearsed, that doing another take was like, we've done this before.
It's just like
let's practice. Do it again. Yeah, my hand's a little sore after the fourth, but...
Oh, dude, when you're in there, I hate being in this seat, and everybody's like, oh, that was great, and I'm like, I messed up.
I messed up in this one part.
Oh, dude, it's the best because there's mics all around, so it's like, everybody can hear me, and I'll be like, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, this is precisely.
I feel like that's like the hardest shit.
It's gotta be.
I'll sing and play.
You're literally
and stuff,
metronoming.
But, yeah, but I feel like getting the click going and dialing it in and then doing takes, I feel like that's
the hardest
thing. We click
tracked before our drummer did it, and so we were already nervous. And like, you can tell with the click track when you fade in and out of that rhythm. And so, all the whole time before Wyman recorded, I'm like so paranoid that it's gonna
hopefully
just not work for him.
He knows you guys so bad. He knows you guys so
bad. And he just vibes completely.
Yeah, he's very, very, very talented, and he does not talk.
He had a couple fucks. There were moments where he's like,
where was that the last show?
Yeah.
He's just he's so casual about everything, and then obviously awesome live player. And then when he got in the studio, it was like almost like a different
completely different dude.
When it comes to like sitting with Chuck and listening back and dropping vocabulary words, we're like, all right, whatever.
They went on like a journey on this boat together.
Chuck knew what he was talking about. Me and Jerry were like,
and we just kind of waved
them
off.
Guys, just
do
whatever you're doing.
Have a good journey. Yeah, and Wyman thought about it. He was like, he came in and immediately was like, all right, so I'm anxious about this one for this reason. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
And then it took him, we're gonna brag about them a little bit, but like one of the tracks has some time changes that we don't always do.
Yeah.
And it took him three tries of one takes, and the third was Chuck and I. We all like kind of sat, and I was like, "That was it right there for sure." And
damn.
And Y was like, "I can do one more," and we're like, "Let's listen to the first three." And sure enough, man, it was perfect. It was awesome.
Dude, wow. he's the best.
Yeah, he's the man.
Really,
we're not worthy.
We're not worthy. We suck.
Multi-genre, like we were finally able to go see him months back, in his band that he originally kind of got to tour and label support Hanover Saints back in the day.
Yeah,
they're on Face Down Records, which I don't know if any of your listeners know Face Down, but for me, Face Down Records was my shit back in the day. It was like Comeback Kid and all these bands that I still listen to today, hardcore bands. But anyways, we got to see him play at Harlow's like a couple months back, and he was just like, I've never seen him in that format live. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because he's done Killing the Dream, like he's done all these different bands, fast, dynamic. With us, it's a 3-piece kit, stripped down, acoustics, fucking singing, you know.
Oh, so, but he did record with a full kit in the studio, so he added a bunch of other shit.
So we did get to go off, and we were like, dude, fucking do it, yeah. Like, go off kind of thing. But watching him do that kind of music live, mic'd up at Harlow's, I was like, fuck, like, everybody knows he's great, but it was like, fuck, dude.
Yeah.
So good.
I got kind of amped. I was like, I'm going to go throw some bows for a little bit. I'll be back.
I wanted to start a heavy project after that. I was like, dude, fucking Wyman, we're going to do some East Coast fucking old school 10 years ago hardcore shit. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Like, no, we're not doing it. What are we doing?
Well, I'm like, you were saying the we're not worthy thing. He keeps coming back with like, no, I'm happy to be a part of your guys' stuff. And I'm like, shut the hell up.
He genuinely is. We talk about you guys when you guys are inside. And dude, I'm just like, bro, I freaking love their sound. He goes, I know. It just makes you feel good. Like, you guys' sound is so genuine. Like, I should you not... There was a while there, I was going over the pass at least once a month, and every single time, done or bad. And it's a short album, so I would listen to the whole album. And
dude, that song...
I'd be like Colfax.
You know what's funny? Up until about... like, a year ago, our dad, we wrote that song pretty much for our dad, for trips that we would take up to Donner to take firewood for our house, because we had, like, you know, no central heating. And it took him like a recent live performance for him to be like, oh, I had no idea that was just about that. And I'm like, we straight up tell you that like we were taking your truck and mom's pissed at you. Like, it's straightforward. Like,
very straightforward.
Yeah, like you didn't pick up on that. And but he was like, oh, that's great. You wrote a song about that. I'm like, yeah. It was like, it came together really fast. Also, it's a song about you stealing wood, stealing firewood.
So you're trespassing.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's cool. And those songs are still really fun to play, man. I mean, I would say I really like them still. And that's a weird spot to be in. Gosh, for a long time, I was like doing that annoying thing that other people can't stand who maybe don't play music or make stuff. They'll say like something nice, and then my brain immediately goes to like, yeah, well, it's not like great, and they're like, shut up, it's good, and I'm like, yeah, and then it took me another 6 years to be like, no, actually, I'm pretty fucking proud of it. It sounds cool, and I'm glad people dig it, man, because we've got a lot of great feedback from people. I'm sure you guys are the same. If anyone gives you a second after a show to be like, I like that part, you're like, fuck yes,
Thank you. This is it.
Thank you. You have no idea what you just did for my brain, because you just pointed something out that I think about all the time, and that's great, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
The affirmation is nice.
Total affirmation, yeah. And yeah, and working on just being okay with taking compliments.
it's a hard thing.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Yeah, but we're excited, man. We're, we brought our guitars too, and at the end of this, if you want, we can play one of the songs for you guys. That'd I know we've done awesome. That before. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. That. What's it going to be called, do you think?
Do you want to do To the Grave? Just because there's not a.
Yeah, we can do that one.
You want to do To the Grave? Which
Cradle
one?
Cradle to the
Grave. We can do that one.
Yeah, that or Number on Me.
No,
I guess.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Let's do that one.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, afterwards or whatever, but. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We're and with drums, man. I'm the most excited about that. Everything feels so.
Dude,
different and big, and we're still waiting on bass, and once that's done,
a little more up. Yeah, a couple of them are up a little more up tempo, but yeah, having Y with the full kit on the recordings, because in the past, like, we had I don't even think we had him on the 8 song like physical release that we were talking about earlier. I think we just did like Pat
Pat we Hills. Did tom drum rolls.
We just fucked around a little
and
bit.
And percussion.
Yeah, there was no like, and then the other singles and shit, like we did a few where I went in and we had him come afterwards with no click. So this is the first time we've had Y come in with a click. Four songs, and then it'll, you know. So
the click
is
so stressful.
I bet it's sick. Yeah. Well, I was thinking about this earlier today, dude. I bet that puts you guys into like almost a new genre. Like you're almost a little more indie.
Yeah, kind of.
I could see that.
Yeah, it's a little more for sure.
It's funny you bring that up. We think about that a lot. We're like, what the hell are we?
The Wolf Creek Boys. Yeah.
I love it. You guys are you. A lot of like indie music lately, and that weirdly enough brought me back to you guys.
Oh no shit.
Yeah, and I was
any
like,
bands like off the top of your head, like in the
like,
indie,
like Mom Jeans or like.
Yeah.
I'm
good, thanks.
Fucking. I'm good. I'm driving. What is that? Modern Baseball stuff like.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Mom Jeans is tight. I was just listening to. Do you ever get around
Mom
Jeans. Listening to Hop Along?
It's good. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, she has the coolest
My
voice.
Jeans.
Yeah. That's cool stuff.
It's so, yeah, it's so, like, violent, but melodic, but
well, I like all
raspy.
That stuff because it's, like, melody-driven, which is my shit. Like, I like all that.
And so me hard too. To perform live.
Well, dude, and their drummers are just so bad.
It was
like,
intricate. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I've been obsessing over it lately. It's been
dude,
really cool.
It's actually, the best.
Actually, it's funny because you post a bunch of songs on your story.
I do. Oh, yeah.
I pull a lot off of there.
Oh, good. Right on. I think I'm a... I carry myself as a sad boy, you know? And I listen to a lot of indie sad stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, I've been super... Yeah, obviously the biggest names in the game right now in indie, I would probably say, is like Phoebe Bridgers. So you go down her road and you're like, fuck, this is good.
Yeah.
And yeah, Hippocampus, I'm a huge fan of them. They got sick guitar tones and... I think that's probably, I mean, Matt, you come from, obviously we mentioned hardcore background, you've always loved metal, you've played it also, and then, but then you on your own time, there are so many times we meet up and hang, and he goes, hey, have you heard of this, you know, this band Russ, have you heard of this guy, like, total, like, hip-hop stuff, I don't even, like, I don't have any idea where they are, where they come from, I listen to it, and I'm like, that's shit, I don't know if I ever would have listened to this had he not told me to, because I'm just, my mind is so focused on certain styles and, like, sounds. Matt, you're constantly, like, casting a wide net with music.
Yeah.
Like, and I like to think that's probably kind of influences what
we
do.
I hope so. I listen to everything.
Yeah.
He likes Slayer.
Like Slayer, yeah. Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Yes, I have.
They're great, dude.
Various Slayer tees. But no, I listen to everything.
They fucking rule.
I listen to everything.
They're so sick.
My Spotify is bipolar for sure. Like, if you go in there and look at it, like today,
yeah.
Shit, on the way here, I was listening to Have Heart, which is an old Boston hardcore band. But before that, there's this. Have you heard of. This is kind of funny. As a nearly 40-year-old man, like, have you heard of BLP Kosher? He's a fucking Floridian Jewish white rapper.
Oh yeah, I have heard this dude. Yeah,
yep. Hair guy.
So he just
what a great name.
He just put out a full length last night. Listened to that entire fucking thing today and post Malone, whatever. He just put out his new one and it's good. It's more acoustic driven. I don't know. I listen to everything. I try to take influence from everything. I hope. You know, but it's not just one genre.
Well, a lot of like our earlier stuff that I was telling you this the other day, it's just straight up metal riffs on an acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
It's metal riff.
But not like
shreddy
metal because I can't do that.
Yeah.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah, like melodic.
Yeah, just melodic stuff. Yeah.
Rhythmic. It's why we like Comeback Kid so much. All their stuff is super tight, melodic.
Yeah.
So I always like a day to remember and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
All that shit is still influences.
Yeah. We just dip into like every 2 months I'll just go, I'm gonna start from the beginning and listen to the entirety of A Day to Remember and then feel like an 18-year-old emo kid again.
Yeah.
I'll listen to pop, like I'll listen to like a lot of like folk pop shit too though.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot. Like that Noah Kahan or Kahan
or yeah, Kahan, yeah.
Like almost a year ago, I fucking found that dude. I don't know if you're into that guy, but I don't know. I'm just a sucker for either like a really good hook, like really good lyrics, or whatever sounds good to the ear, like musically. So that's, you know, there's so many genres.
Jordan, what's the name of the French pop song? The artist?
Something Cabo.
No, it's a Cabo, but it's Pamplemousse.
Oh, Pamplemousse.
You guys ever heard of that?
No.
Pamplemousse Music, like the band from YouTube?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
are they called Pamplemousse Music, or what are they called?
No, well, they're called Pamplemousse, but that's like...
Yes, they I do. I remember years ago on YouTube, that couple was posting stuff.
Yeah.
And there was mostly covers. They would do like Beyonce and a bunch of other shit. Mm-hmm. And now they have their own studio space where they just mess around with tones and sounds. And it's so much fun.
It's really cool.
Because they'll be like, shut up. Do that again.
Yeah.
Do that. And then they'll mess around with it. And if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong here. I believe that guy is the creator of Patreon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe he is one of the creators of the Patreon.com.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
I could be wrong. So
I just know they released a full French album.
Okay.
And it's really cool.
Yeah, okay. All the lyrics are Hopefully French. I'm talking about the same thing. Yeah, Pamplemousse. Yeah. Which is grapefruit in French. I believe Pamplemousse is grapefruit.
Got me on that one.
Yeah. They're sick. They're cool.
But dude, it's like, it's totally like poppy, but like, it's like pop jazz fusion, if you would.
See, and her voice is really cool. Shit.
Yeah.
Do you guys get into the new Avenged Sevenfold at all?
Oh no, dude, I don't like it.
Go back in.
Dip back in. So it's a rock opera.
For me, it took 3 or 4 listens and then I got it, and now it's one of my favorite things I've ever done.
Okay,
you got it. Not to be
everyone
like that guy,
is
but you got to like front to back though. Like they anti-2023'd it. They straight went in and did like, you have to listen to the full thing. Nobody's fucking doing that.
Okay. Yeah.
So they put those 2 singles out and all the old heads were like, fuck that. And I did the same thing on the first one. Like, this is stupid. What are you guys doing? And then they put the other single out. I think it was We Love You or whatever. I was like, oh man, that's a cool music video. And, all right. The ending acoustic shit's cool.
Right.
And then I listened to the full record and I did what you did. I was like, this makes no sense. This is Avenged. And then I was on a run and I fucking got it. I texted Jerry. I fucking texted my buddies
like,
so I could like, fuck you guys. This shit's genius. This people don't get it yet.
Yeah.
It's gonna be. And
you reached enlightenment with
the band. So I'm kind of bandwagoning because everybody's now on board with it when everybody hated it. But like it did whatever, dude. Fucking Matt said it. I was reading interviews up to it because I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
People are going to hate it, then they're going to love it.
Mm-hmm.
Totally got me. That record is fucking love that record.
Well, like after The Stage came out, I was like, nah, I'm good.
Too prog or too experimental or whatever?
It was just too weird. Like, I go to Avenged Sevenfold for like shreddy lead guitar.
Yeah.
City of
Evil is like one of my all time favorite albums.
Yeah.
But you know what? I was the hipster who hated on it when it dropped back when it dropped. I was like, fuck that, TRL.
Didn't you talk shit?
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'm not going to listen to him. And then I'm like, okay, it's good. And then I went back down.
I could be wrong here. Did you talk shit about it at a show, like with one of your bands?
No. Speaking of it.
Maybe it was A Day to Remember.
Speaking of A Day to Remember.
Yes, that's what
I got on stage at the Boardwalk. No, excuse me. They were at the Boardwalk. We were at the VFW down the street. I got on stage and was like, all you motherfuckers that are here, you're real Sacto hardcore. Fuck all those pussies that are watching A Day to Remember.
Yeah.
And that was, I don't know, 14 years ago. And A Day to Remember now is like a platinum selling fucking.
And they're
amazing.
They're amazing.
But I was,
so
when you're that young though, when you're like early 20s, like you're only listening to one genre, it's that, or fuck everything else. Like it's just closed minded. I tell Jerry all the time, I wish I would have been like ballsy enough to get into the songs we're doing now back in my early 20s and be vulnerable and get on stage and play acoustic and sing. You couldn't have paid me to do it back then. It's like, I'm going to hide under distortion. I'm going to jump around. Kids are going to go nuts. They're going to mosh and it's going to be sick.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, I'm going to fucking sing about weird shit from my childhood. And like, if you like it, cool. If not, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like that. I mean, sometimes.
It's so true though, man.
That's actually the life path of like a rocker.
Yeah, totally.
It is. Well, dude, isn't it so funny how all the punk rock kids just turn into bluegrass musicians?
Every time. They go through their bluegrass.
There's all those great memes where they're like, their ears are shit now, so they just move to acoustic guitars. Yep. And I'm like,
Well, a lot of them, you go through the list of all the people who made that jump. I was never in punk bands. It was hardcore metal, but like the guys that did the jump, or guys that are girls now, like Laura Jane Grace, Tom Gable before. Both amazing songwriters, doesn't matter. But like, there's so many of that example where like, they were in those amazing bands back in the day, and then they can just get an acoustic guitar and get in front of people and just
big shout out to Against Me and
well, the acoustic EP was like when 2014 when we were not writing full songs yet, we were just fucking around.
Yeah.
We would have beers. We play acoustic. I would try to solo over his chords, and we'd stop and we'd listen to like that kind of shit. And that was like the early like, oh man, look, whatever they captured on that was what like
Dude,
that was the early
Gender Dysphoria Blues is so fucking sick.
And that
sick
was
too.
What, 10 years later?
God, that was 10 years later, yeah. And it's so good.
Well, all of it's good. I mean, all of that stuff's awesome.
Yeah. 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 So, music's cool, you guys. Yeah. Music's really fun.
I don't know. I just like everything. But yeah. I like all of it.
It's easy to like everything, man. I mean, and again, yeah, that's an age thing for sure. It's like.
I was looking at my Spotify. I was like, fuck, who else is there? But yeah, that Avenged record. Get back into it, dude.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll read back into it.
Yeah.
Dude, actually, you kind of got me convinced. Like,
you just, but you gotta, the problem is you need that hour to listen to it, and, like, if you're not in a mood to, like, really, like, listen, then it's like, you're gonna do what we all did in the beginning, be like, all right, whatever.
And it's also harder than ever to focus. You know, everyone has a phone, you're just like, even a movie I want to watch, I'm like, oh, shit, let me check, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I almost checked my phone during Oppenheimer, and I don't know why the hell I would do that. I was there to see
Nolan Taylor, dude? There's a couple songs. He's fucking sick songwriters.
Oh, yeah, dude,
68. Like, yeah. So, like, I've been... There's a whole, like, resurgence of that.
Yeah.
Kind of right now, which is, like, my shit. Well, one dude with an acoustic singing shit about, like, real shit. Like,
well, dude, that's like Zach Bryan. Like, Zach Bryan brought that back up a little bit.
When that dude blew up on Reddit...
Like, yeah, it was Reddit, right?
Yeah, it was Reddit, and it was, was it... Was it Going South? Whatever. What song was the one that fucking popped him off? Going South or Going Back South? Or
yeah,
whatever?
I think it was Heading South.
Heading South. Whatever that song was, that came up. The YouTube fucking spit that at me early, and I was like, oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
You know, like, that guy's really good.
See the one that was posting videos while he was enlisted?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
He got a discharge.
He got an honorable discharge. Did you listen to the Rogan? Just came out. I did too. I listened to the whole fucking thing.
I was too.
I listened to it front to back. Didn't pause. I was like, really? I really wanted to hear this guy talk about his arc and everything.
Dude, I love like all of Joe Rogan's music podcasts. Like
Sturgill one, all of his shitty.
Yeah. Or dude, he had like Ice Cube on, and like a bunch of cool stuff. Like
when he interviewed Sturgill, Sturgill was like blown up, but he was kind of early from like a mainstream like. Rogan's obviously mainstream biggest, but like when he had Sturgill on, I remember thinking like, holy shit, like he's kind of like going to make, he's now like, he shouts out Tyler Childers. Like he's kind of like putting that music up on a pedestal. So it's kind of cool to see a guy like that with that reach, like putting that stuff up there.
Before we move on, Jake, you just mentioned something. That guy, Zach Bryan is his name.
Yeah.
The enlisted one. He had the same job you had when you were.
Yeah, so he's a weapons loader.
And no kidding.
Yeah, that's what I did too. He did a little more. He did the where they took care of the bombs and assembled them.
No
that
shit.
That was a second job in the Air Force. But yeah, I was a weapons loader on F-16.
You get into his stuff at all? Like, I admittedly haven't gone down the total.
No.
I have to. You know me. Oh, yeah. I'm a hip-hop head, actually. Like, I listen to hip-hop and punk recently a lot.
What kind of like punk were you listening
to? Punk, like
pop punk?
The old like 1990s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, I guess pop punk, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's some hooks in that shit that are timeless. Like,
yeah. Dude, well, Spotify mixes it up for me, so it's a new change like every time I do it. So like, I love it.
What kind of bands? Yeah, I'm just curious.
Oh, dude, like Rancid. Fuck yeah.
Outcome of Wolves. Did you like Life Won't Wait? That like reggae infused record they did after.
I don't know. I haven't dove into the discographies yet.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's having the Spotify mix where like.
Oh sure, yeah. Weirdly enough, I heard Life.
Daily mixes,
I heard Life Won't Wait first before anything else.
You don't have to choose anything.
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, man, this guy sounds hammered on all these tracks.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they were kind of like that.
Yeah,
but I mean. He kind of does sound like that, though.
Well, Rancid might... This is another thing I was just talking about with a friend, is that, like, having a big family when it comes to sharing music is so cool, because I can remember exactly who showed me what. And, like, Matt showed me a lot of hardcore, a lot of metal. My sister Jenny showed me... She was the one that was like, you need to listen to Rancid. And then after that, she was like, now listen to Leftover Crack. And I'm like, okay. And then, now it's the reason why I like the chats so much, is because I stayed in that pocket and was like, all right, this is pretty cool. Like, I like this. So much noise coming out of these smaller groups, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, dude, of course, it's been said over and over, but Rancid was kind of like a punk awakening for me at like 14. I'm like, no way, this is cool.
Yeah.
I feel cool.
I really enjoy the artistic freedom. Yeah. Like, since we've been started playing shows in the Bay Area with a lot of those other punk bands down there, like watching their shows, everything's so different, and it's a show.
It's a lot of energy, I bet, Matt. It's all like, it's more of like a,
It's art. It's an artistry. Like people are just being out there being artists, whether it's good, bad, they're just doing it.
Where are you guys playing it down there?
We're playing in Pacifica.
Yeah, you guys down there like what, once a month or so?
No, we played there earlier this year. We played there twice earlier this year.
Yeah. That's a cool town. One of my best friend's parents were from Pacifica. Nate's parents were from
Pacifica. Yeah, Pacifica. Yeah.
My neighbors were from Pacifica and like had a house on the beach there and shit and sold it. This little throwaway house. They made all this fucking money and moved.
That's great.
Yeah, but Pacifica is a cool town.
Yeah, and then we just played it in Crockett down there with the High Card Drifters.
Dude, we haven't gone down. Crockett? We haven't been to the Bay in for it's been a long time.
We did Bottom of the Hill once in San Francisco. Yeah. It was the Bottom of the Hill, yeah.
Whatever that two-story venue is, they've got shows going on up top, shows on the...
We also did a San Francisco, the Lost Church. We did
that place was really
fun. Yeah, we did a show there.
That was years
back. All pre-pandemic. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that was like 2017.
Oh, are they?
We played Cooper and I actually played Enter Westwood once.
Okay.
We did a songwriter set down there in San Fran.
Oh, sweet. This Lost Church was similar. It was a songwriter showcase. Yeah, and they made a point to
What was that, dude? Fog City Songwriters or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. And like they had an artist draw you while you were playing and then they gave it to you at the end.
That's dope.
Yeah, that was really cool. Yeah, they like sketched you out while you were playing.
That was very cool. Amazing. Yeah, man.
We got pictures of it. Or no, I might have that downstairs somewhere.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. And they made you, it was a listening room, as they say.
We gotta get back out there. It's been a long time. We're starting to play more, so maybe we'll try to do like a Bay.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know when this comes out, but we do have a couple shows coming up.
What do you got coming up?
It's all local.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, Phoenix.
We're playing the Phoenix.
Which I want to ask you after we tell you what we got going on, how your guys' show went there, but we got Phoenix tomorrow.
Yeah. I love it up there.
Their sound is pretty sick.
Matt's great. Teresa's great. They're all great.
Well, they put some money in that sound, too. When we played their grand opening, I was like, Matt. Fuck yeah. I was like, you need to market that we have the best sound in Nevada County.
Because it sounded good. Yeah.
Like, we're the real... Because you know how it is. All these venues, I'm not trying to shit on. Like, anytime we can play somewhere, I'm happy. But it's like, we do music. Hey, can you bring a PA? It's like, you guys...
Every time I can play in the PAs there, it's even more amazing.
Well, think about it. That's a venue. Yeah. A venue is somebody... Like, a venue is a spot that they put money into the sound. They value good sound. And they market, hey, we do shows. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants music because it's a good fucking time, which we have our own PA and we bring our own sound. That's cool. But like, when they put the money into that place and put that whatever they put in there, I told Matt, I'm like, dude, you need to just hammer that marketing home on. Like we do the music on Mill Street in Grass Valley. We have the sound. Everybody I heard that night, I was like, holy shit. And Matt was on the knobs, so he's
obviously... He was an iPad, I think, right?
Yeah. Obviously, he's good at what he's doing, too, so there's, you know, that's not understated, but I don't know. I'm just pumped that they're doing it right, I feel like, as far as, like, the sound and, like, we're going to do bands, you know?
A friend of Matt's opened up a cidery in Auburn called Ponderosa Cidery. I wanted to give them a little quick shout-out. They're great.
Yeah.
Guy John and his wife runs it.
Yeah, old roommate, really close high school friend of mine.
And we'll be playing there August 19th,
I believe. Awesome.
Yeah. August 19th. Yeah, 19th we'll play there. What other shit that we've got... Phoenix and then Ponderosa, and then there might be...
We're playing Painkillers again in Rockland. Oh, Greengrass, which is in September, right?
September 9th, and then we've got...
Can't wait. This is our fourth time?
Third time. August 24th, I think we got Painkillers again. That's another venue that's been really good.
Fourth or fifth?
Maybe fifth even, yeah.
Yeah, because you've been for every one.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, and there was 1 year we didn't do it right because of the pandemic.
Did you take 1 year off?
I thought we took a year off.
There weren't no years taken off.
So then we played every one.
Played every one because there was 1 year with the smoke. There was 1 year with the pandemic. Yeah, yeah. There was a year before with no pandemic or smoke.
Yep.
People who are listening, the Greengrass Fest is one of the coolest stages we've ever played on. It's so sick.
Well, just the entire setup, obviously, here, like the entire, the property.
Yeah.
It's
so fun, dude.
You.
Last year was so bad. What a host. I was so high on mushrooms last year when the sun went down and people were asking me questions. And I was like, dude, you're not having a festival right now. You're not having a festival. I went to the bathroom and shut myself away for like 10 minutes.
Throw some water in your face.
I'm in the bathroom.
And then you start.
We don't have a sink in there.
The year before that,
like, I just peed.
We're all just molecules.
I left kind of early. My wife got after it, though. This is a funny little story. We still joke about this. So I drove us here, drove us back. I'm kind of permanent DD, which is fine. My kids were here. So she's having some tall cans because she's all of a sudden in the last 5 years decided she likes beer. And I'm not trying to do fucking dad joke guy, but I'm like, pre-kids, pre-marriage, where the fuck was I? Love beer. And now I'm older and like I don't get after it like I once did back in the day. But anyways,
why couldn't we have done this? Yeah, it's just us too.
Yeah, the timing is impeccable. But but she and truth be told, we have two kids, so she DD'd while she was pregnant, so whatever. But sure. she was drinking tall cans during Green Grass last year. And we played. I don't know how many she had, and then we took off. Get the kids home, and I'm like, oh, you're kind of fucked up, obviously. And she's like, can we stop for food? And so we stop. I get her some McDonald's, get the kid McDonald's. I don't have any McDonald's. Drive home, and I'm cleaning out the car, get the kids down. She's in going to sleep, and she fucking dropped like a full Big Mac down the side of her, down the side of the passenger side. And so I just like snapped a photo.
Was there a bite out of it?
There's like two bites and then just all the patties and lettuce like, and shit.
Fuck that Big Mac.
Yeah, she just fucking left it. So anyways, Green Grass, she was fucking good time. You were on mushrooms. She fucking. I have that photo, and like all I did to fuck with her before I even told her is I just texted her the photo with nothing, and I saw the red come up and nothing back, and I went in and was like, what happened?
That is funny.
Sorry, there's just lettuce everywhere.
Fuck. Just shredded lettuce. The third bun is in the backseat.
That was fun. What time? I don't even remember. What time we played when the sun was out last year? Mm-hmm. I know that. I'm trying to remember.
Do you know who all is playing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go over the lineup. You told me.
Let's hear the lineup. Yeah.
Pump the lineup.
Sick. Awesome.
Dude, it's a good lineup. Let me pull it up real quick.
Hell yeah.
We got
this year. I'm taking the next day off, so I'm gonna chill.
Yeah, dude, camp.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, maybe I'll just tell the wife.
Beard Pickers camping. Him and his
I'm gonna take.
Camping.
Okay, cool. I'm taking the next day off for sure. Yes.
This year we're going by the Placer County Rhythm Section.
Placer County Rhythm Section.
Yeah.
All right.
Sick.
Let me put that County. Down there.
I think I'm gonna try to change it every year.
And then we got, so the Placer County Rhythm Section.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And then Mark View's coming down from Grass Valley.
Okay.
Charlie Marks is coming out.
Yay.
From
yep. All right.
Then we got Lloyd Street coming out.
Okay.
Dirty Laundry's going to be
Oh,
there.
Cool. Okay. I think we follow them, right?
Mr. Marcus.
Yeah.
And then Dust in My Coffee.
Of course.
Wolf Creek Boys.
Okay. They're all right.
And then we got Beard Picker. And then Outlaws. And then my boy Sammy's going to rap for us for like three songs afterwards.
Are you going to rap with him? You should rap with him.
You are. Don't need to. Like,
come on, man.
You're like, yeah, you are. What the fuck? Yeah.
It's in your blood, dude.
Don't you play coy.
No,
get up there and rap with him.
Him and I did. We have a song that we wrote together. And then our newest one, Rollin'.
Okay.
We're gonna hopefully
do
end
some
the night
jumps
out
on it?
With that one.
Oh,
so you'll probably pump. Beat and everything through the PA, right? And then have like live drums maybe or something.
So he's got he's got a keyboard up there that he's gonna do, and then he does a little bit of leads, and then he sings and does the rap stuff.
Sick.
And so I'll just give him the beats to the ones that
dude. Cool. That'll be fun.
And
you should close it with that.
That's gonna be the night. He's gonna do like two, three songs, I think, like 15 minutes, so that we can, once Outlaws are done, we could all jump down and we could hopefully get everybody down to dance.
Oh, cool.
And then we'll end the night out doing our Rollin' song. And then after that, then we'll probably put a DJ playlist on for dance stuff for like 15, 20 minutes so we can actually have some fun in the driveway.
Is the song the
Looking
shit in your in your set?
Huh?
The shit?
What is it?
Oh, no.
On the shit?
Shit is not in our set.
Shit is not in your set?
No.
All right.
We've retired it.
It's a tight song.
It is.
It's actually a dope song.
Yeah. I love it.
And lightweight retired.
Yeah. All right.
But it is fun. It was that was one of our singles. We made it in like a day, and then we're like, let's put that out.
It's sick.
Sometimes you got to do that though. It's like
great.
I said, we did it in COVID. We put out songs that. You know, just,
yeah, Farewell Youth came together really quick, and then we put that a little demo. Yeah.
I love
that
song.
I don't think we played that our last
we
show.
We don't really have.
What the fuck?
I don't know.
Play that at Painkillers.
I don't know. We had a two and a half hour set, so we probably had time to do it.
Three hour set tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been fun. Painkillers has been cool in Rockland. We're going to be playing
Austin's,
them again.
You've played with us at Painkillers, right?
Yeah. More than once, I think.
Yeah, we've played a couple times.
Yeah, Austin's a good dude. He books music. And
they got good sound there, too.
They got good,
shout out Painkillers.
I don't even know what kind of sound it is.
Not even hard to, it's easy peasy.
I figured it out pretty much
right
when I got there.
Sound guy
last year. Yeah, I was like, okay, cool. cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Austin's really available.
Yeah.
Dude, hook us up real quick. He's always been a good dude.
We got linked through him through playing his dad's wine bar in Granite Bay, and we were, this was like 20.
House of Oliver?
Yeah, 17. Yeah. And I don't know. We started like really playing live in 15. And 15 through, if I'm being honest with you, I don't want to speak for you, Jerry, but 15 through 19,
fucking
dude.
Fucking lie to me, please.
We were playing live shows, but like I was fucking scared like the whole time. And so we go down to Granite Bay, and it's like all these like hoity-toity Granite Bay people fucking drinking wine, and me and Jerry are playing, and they're like 2 feet away, and I'm like, God damn it, this is not even close to my scene.
They're right next to you holding really expensive
wine. Like expensive wine. The set went okay, but I was like...
And their faces, oh my gosh.
Yeah, just stone face, fucking older, established. Yeah. Anyways, but that's how we met Austin. His dad runs that place, and then obviously now Austin's running, I think he runs like 2 spots now.
I think so.
Yeah, good dude though.
Yeah, he's a hard worker. That whole family's hard worker.
And his dad's cool shit too. He booked, like, I don't even remember how we got booked there, but we did. And we were like, there was like a girl that was a... somewhere in the placing for The Voice that played like after us. She was amazing.
Wow. I wish I could remember her name, because she had a beautiful voice.
Jacqueline Lovey.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah,
her voice. Jacqueline Lovey, great. Hope she's still doing it. We haven't played.
We
with
still
her
follow
since,
her. But. I'll still like when she throws stuff online singing. I'm like, that's an angel voice.
I'll throw a double tap on that shit, right?
There's been a couple artists that have come out of Sacramento that have been on like The Voice and American Idol. That I've been following.
Oh, cool.
It's really cool stuff to do.
Yeah. That. Would you guys ever do that?
No,
not a chance, right?
No, I can't sing well enough. Like, I can sing all right for, like, what I do, but, you know.
Those types of shows demand something that I'm missing, I think, which is, like...
I will have no shame and do a cover and do it well.
Sure. I don't think I could ever do it. Well, I mean, yeah.
We do covers, but, like... just vocals, like, get up in front of people and be like, all right, this next one's by... Alicia Keys or something. All right, here it comes.
My biggest problem with covers, and one thing we always talk about, we need to sit, is that I consistently choose covers of songs that I like that no one really gives a shit about.
I don't know if you guys do that, so I need to
sit and watch, look at a top 40 and be like, oh, okay, that's an acoustic song or something that
There's
can be
so
acoustic.
There's so many that we should do that are just out there that people do that probably get good reactions.
If anyone has feedback on that, let me know.
You're doing a great job selling your art. Just stay on the path.
Yeah, gosh. His songs are so good.
Thanks, man.
So like, that's what we have the same viewpoint where it's like, I think it's good enough, so that should be enough.
Yeah, well, it's cool to sprinkle covers in there. It's entertainment industry. No matter, you got to adapt to what show you're at.
And totally. That right there, Jake, is something that...
We didn't know the first three or four years at all.
And then it was like, that is like...
Not everybody's a music lover.
The stage time thing, after those hours and hours, you really start to hone in on that, where you're like, how can I make this room feel a little bit better? Oh, I know. I'll throw in, you know...
Whatever.
You're in
a charge. Jackson Brown cover that this older couple here clearly would love, you know? And then you go for it, you try it, and you're like, hell yeah, this is sick.
Well, Aaron Abel.
I like Jackson Brown too. Let's go.
I'm like, all right. Well, Michael McDonald coming right up.
Oh my God! Could you imagine playing Michael McDonald on acoustic?
I could never. It'd be awesome.
They came from somewhere back in the long ago.
Elmo.
That'd be sick.
I always find myself like doing covers that like my friends would like.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And I think that like everybody universally will like that.
Outside of your circle.
Oh, you guys don't know that song, huh?
Yeah.
You guys don't listen to Ernest Tubbs, huh?
Yeah, right. We cover
Rockland. I should have known.
Shit, I guess I should have thought about that.
I should have known off of Park and Sunset and Rockland that you guys weren't into this.
Dude, yeah, we play a Shins song, and there was one person last at the Rockland show that was like, was that the Shins? And I'm like, this is the first time that someone is
actually... And you're the one that knows that.
Yeah.
I don't know the first fucking thing about the Shins, but I'm like, I know what the guitar does, so I'm just going to do no vocals, and I'm just going to do this on the guitar. But yeah.
Another sad boy badge in my belt is the Shins. Way too much of the Shins.
They were on MTV and shit, though. I remember, like, the Artists You Should Know or whatever? Like, in between commercials, they would cut, and you'd be like, I think it was Artists You Should Know or something. I remember the commercial for the Shins that would come up.
Yeah, cool.
And I was in my only metal. Fuck that shit. You know, just like, you think you're so much cooler than, like, no, if I would have just embraced all of that shit. I will say, though,
you think you're so much cooler.
Yeah, you think, you're just like, you think you know. It's like, no, listen to everything. Yeah. One of my favorite songwriters is Billy Joel, and some people say that's corny, but I fucking love Billy Joel.
He's great.
They can kick rocks.
He's
Billy
one
Joel
of the greatest songwriters, if not of all time.
And composer.
Yeah, so good.
Amazing. Multiple, yeah. Across genres.
And Matt brings this up all the time. He's like, he's also... like silent heavy, like his songs, the transition, the rhythm changes are so heavy sometimes.
Dude, if somebody translated to like metal, there's mosh parts in Billy Joel.
There
songs.
Are parts in Billy Joel songs where parts. You want to throw bows for sure.
He's still rock and roll to me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And that's what I'm saying.
You're all and you're still rock and roll to me, guys.
That's the funniest thing to me though is like anybody who hates on music is always all like. It is always like not the musician I want to be hanging out with, you know?
Yeah.
Like all those people who hated on Nickelback for all that time.
Oh,
dude,
you're in the wrong room.
Fucking slaps.
You're in the wrong room. I will hate on
Nickelback.
Bro,
you're wrong, dude.
So, Rockstar was a really terrible song, yeah. But they had some bangers.
I'll have the kiss.
I can see that. I'll give you that.
That's my favorite part of any song.
It wasn't my favorite.
The look at this photograph memes were hilarious.
You're
so
good.
I'll give you that.
I like look at this graph. That's my favorite
that's
one.
That's the best one.
It's just a bar graph.
Look at this graph. But I don't know. Like they're kind of leaning into that now.
Yeah.
Like being a meme, and they're like, "Fuck off, 20 million plus whatever records sold." It's funny. I get why people made fun of it. And
it's promo.
They did. Like, they did have like.
They
good
sold more records because
so
music,
many
but...
records. Yeah. So many records. Like.
Well, dude,
back when selling records was a thing.
Was a thing. Absolutely.
Kinda,
we're getting old, guys.
It's kind of sad to think about because, like, I almost went and saw Nickelback, and they were playing in, like, Elk Grove.
Dude, and that would have been sick. That would have been a good memory.
It would have been a good memory, but they were opening up for, like, one country artist and, like, another
really?
Country artist that I had never heard of. Oh. And I was like, oh, dude, that's kind of sad.
I wonder
you guys
who...
sold all those records.
And, oh, and they were opening
I wonder
for
who
someone.
The fuck the country artists were. Were they, like, probably mainstream?
They were mainstream, yeah. But, like, I also don't listen to a ton of mainstream country, yeah. So...
There's only a few that are out there still that I'll dip in on.
There's,
like
that dude like, out of Dixon. I think it was John Party or something like
was
that.
Was it Hardy?
No.
John Party's from Dixon. Yeah, I thought you were talking about.
I
misheard that. Yeah, John Party's out of Dixon.
Yeah,
he's so got a song or two that were okay. Shit. He's got like a, I don't want to say like throwback sound, but he doesn't sound like pop country. But he definitely is radio country. He doesn't to me. He doesn't sound like 808s and fucking trap production like
well,
that. Some
like,
of the modern country guys have.
Yeah.
But
well, it's not like Jesse Daniels. Right? Like
it's
Jesse,
not that.
Jesse,
oh. Definitely not that.
Jesse Daniels huge, but he's huge. And, like, it's different. It's different
that's
situation.
A very traditional. He's got a very...
And a sweetheart.
You know
totally
what?
Nice
I got
guy.
An anecdote about that, dude.
Yeah.
We were in... So, when we first started Instagram, and we're trying to play shows and shit, we went down to Santa Cruz. He DM'd us, and we... Did we end up meeting up with him, and he gave us a demo or some
that
shit?
That sounds right, yeah.
Something like that, and, like, he was just, like, starting what's now, obviously, his project, yeah, and it's kind of been cool.
And then we re-met him again at the Dewdrop years later.
Met him at the Dewdrop. Yeah. I saw him in Nevada City one night. I was on a date night with my wife, and we just like looked at each other. I'm like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" kind of thing.
Yeah.
We don't know each other that well, but it was really cool. I guess point is like you mentioned him. It was cool to think like, "Fuck, we saw that dude in Santa Cruz. He's from that area, or whatever."
Right.
Gave us a demo, and now he does music for a living,
yeah.
Or whatever. You know, it's pretty fucking cool.
He's fucking
dude,
good
he's,
too.
He's pretty big.
He's talented good. In that sound. It's a very like traditional yeah. sound, and he always has like really good players with him.
Yeah. So yeah. good, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, dude, yeah, for sure.
Look at this, all
right, guys. Let's,
look at this graph.
Look at this graph.
look at this graph.
All right, we're gonna be doing To the Grave.
To the Grave, I think.
Grave.
Yeah, unless you have another
no,
opinion.
No, we can do that one.
Let's do that. Just, yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, dude, guys, thanks for coming.
Hey, this was
thanks
fun.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks
always
for having us.
Is, dude, always is. Thank you guys for coming.
Yeah,
looking
dude.
Forward to Greengrass.
Yeah.
Greengrass, September 9th. Greengrass. September 9th. You heard the lineup, guys.
Yeah, tell your friends. It's going to be great.
Or is it not Tell Your Friends? Is it Tell Your Friends?
Well,
it's always been
you
Tell
said,
Your Friends.
Mm-hmm. Tell Your Friends.
But is it Tell Your Friends' Friends? to call their friends.
Well, I'm just going to say, if it gets too big this year and I get in trouble, we might start looking at other venues to start throwing
that's
it.
A good idea, even though this is the shit.
Let
yeah.
it. But yeah, well, we'd have to find some place that would be wonderful, or we just start not putting the address out.
Yeah. Which you've been doing, and they've been going well, so.
That's true.
We'll
the word of mouth crowd, yeah,
but the bigger
sure.
people you start getting, like you're getting some names, you know? Like, you're
yeah.
getting people from out of the area, the bit, you know, they're going to have people that want to come down with them
Charlie
and watch
Marks
and
would
shit.
Be cool.
Yeah, Charlie Marks. Lastly, we had a show booked with him right before COVID, and at the Poorhouse, right before they shut down. They shut down, and I was like,
"R.I.P. Poorhouse."
We didn't know each other. We were just DMing. I forget what song he fucking some Instagram algorithm fed me a clip of him playing one of his acoustic songs, and I just DM'd him like after a couple beers, like, "Dude, that song's fucking sick." And then we were gonna play a show, and then we never did. So it'll be cool to like.
It'll
meet
be cool
dude,
to hear him. Yeah, I'm excited. Anyways. Well, cool, guys. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Of course, hell yeah.